You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is POW. I want to talk to you this morning about spiritual prisoners of war. Now, guys, my contention is this, that probably, I would say 90-something percent of Christians, this is a guess based on conversations I've had, 90-something percent of all Christians are what I call prisoners of war. It's not that you're not going to die and go to heaven. It's not that you're not on the right side in your heart. It's just you've just been locked up. You're a prisoner of war. You've been arrested. You've been taken by the enemy, and he's locked you up. And I want to describe this prison to you. It is a prison where the enemy is really good to you, basically. You want drugs? We got drugs. You want sex? We got sex. You want pornography? We got pornography. It's this prison where they'll give you anything you want except one thing, freedom. And it's their rules and their way, and there's some temporary pleasure, but you're basically locked up the whole time. And personally, for 20-something years of my life, I believe I was a prisoner of war. I became a Christian when I was 6 years old, but till I was 20-something years old, I was a prisoner of war. Now, guys, I know what that feels like, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. And part of the reason I do what I do and say what I say the way I say it is that I say to people now, I literally feel like, and our church has a prison ministry to literal inmates. We have people that we write letters to, but guys, this is my prison ministry. You say, well, what's wrong with this picture? All these people, we're here, we're in church, isn't this it? You can be sitting in the building on a Sunday morning and still be a prisoner of war. Or basically, for all intents and purposes, you are locked up and you're not going anywhere, you're going to get anything done. And the enemy says, whatever your deal is, whatever your vice, whatever you want, we'll supply you with it, but you can't leave. And what we're going to talk about this morning is this. I know somebody who can come get you out. And you don't have to live there and you don't have to die there. And the thing that is so awesome to me about all this is I didn't know that. I spent 20-something years of my life as a religious person locked up with no peace, no joy, no freedom, with sins that had entangled themselves around me, root systems that had gotten in me, anger, temptation, stuff. And I thought I was free. The book said I was free, but I knew I wasn't free. I couldn't get out. And it's interesting that Claude's in the room today, my mentor, who discipled and still does disciple me. When I met Claude Townsend, I was a piece of work. That's another thing for a POW, a piece of work. And I thought, you know, I said, well, Claude, here's my problem. I got sexual temptations. I got this going on. I got all this stuff going on. And it was all this peripheral stuff. And he said, well, that's interesting. That's fine. I said, but turn over here. And he'd take me to the scriptures. And he'd say, but what about this? And he'd take me to some root basic stuff that was screwing up my life and was causing all these other problems. And when I look back on it, it was literally like I was sitting in my cell. And I'd die and go to heaven, but my life was hell. I could put on a smile. I could put the suit on, the tie, walk in any church in America with the right color Bible. How are you? God bless you. Good morning. I pastored a church for 4 years as a prisoner of war. And I could look right. I could sound right. But inside, I was dying. I was dead, empty. Something was wrong. And I look back on it, it was literally like having Claude, in my case, come into my cell, and he'd sit down with me and kind of have this conversation. And this is what I try to have with people now. I go to see somebody in their cell. They can be out here on the curb somewhere. And you sit down with him and say, look, here's the deal. You're stuck. You're in this cell. Now, there's great comfort in being a prisoner of war. You know why? Because they tell you what to do, when to do it. You come and go when they tell you. You really don't have to make any decisions. You're just a prisoner or some kind of slave, really. And they run you in, they run you out. You can eat now, you can't eat now. There's no freedom whatsoever. You think you're free because you have a few things supplied to you that you want, but basically they control your life. And Claude would literally come into my cell and he'd show me the scriptures and basically would communicate this. Richard, I got a pardon right here. It says you can walk right now with me. I got a document right here signed in Jesus' blood, basically, that says if you want to walk out, we can walk out. Now, this prison's got some unbelievable guards. But you know what? They're like toothless lions. There's no bullets in their guns. There's no teeth in their mouth. They make a lot of noise, and they can literally scare the hell out of you, but they can't touch you. And if you stand up in your cell and say, you know what? I think what he's saying is right. I think what the Bible says is true. I'm going to walk out of here. Then they start screaming at you. Where do you think you're going? You can't leave here. We got you. And the longer you've been there, the more convincing they are. See, I'd spent 20-something years. Now, while we're talking about this, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, let me give you some background on why I think you can be a POW. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the schemes of the devil." And you know what? People say, well, I don't believe in the devil. Then you're toast. Because if your enemy doesn't even exist, he's got you. You've never even been out of jail. Well, I don't believe he exists. Well, buddy, you're in big trouble because he exists. He is for real, and he has a certain amount of power. It's not like it's God and the devil. God is off the charts compared to where the devil is. But he is alive, and he is well. The Bible says, like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he is after you, and he is after me. Now look at this verse 12. "For we do not wrestle," we're not fighting against flesh and blood, "but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." There is a battle out there. I'm not telling you I've got it all figured out. I know what to do in a lot of cases, but it's not knowing what to do, it's doing it. There are lots of people out there who can quote you the verses. They're sitting in their cell memorizing Scripture. Spiritually, they're going through all the stuff. But I'm saying, is it working? Are you really free? I'm under attack, and so are you. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." And Jesus said, "But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." There are two plans, and you better pick a plan. And the devil is out to steal everything you've got, kill you physically if he can, and destroy you eternally as soon as possible, because then he wins. He's lost anyway, but he's going to take you with him. You say, well, I don't believe that. I'm just going to live a nice Christian life. Well, just enjoy your cell. And I hope whatever it is you're into is working, because you're going to be there a long time. You're not free. And you will not be free until you see what the truth is and walk out of there. Now, I got sick of my cell anemia, if there is such a thing. I got sick. I finally had enough of my cell and the sin that was provided me and said, you know what? I'm out of here. This is miserable. I don't want to live this way. I don't want to do this anymore. And thank God, and I really do thank God that He sent Claude, because I wouldn't have made it. You say, well, Christians don't even think about committing suicide. I used to drive down highways and look at bridge embankments and say, you know, if I just let it go, I'd hit it and at least I'd be in heaven. I wouldn't feel this pain anymore. I'd be home. I didn't want to die. I just didn't want to live. I didn't want to live that way. I was sick of reading the Bibles. I'd read about peace and joy and love and all this stuff, and I had none of it. And I said, God, if there's no more, I'm too chicken to kill myself. If this is all there is to being a Christian, and heaven's so great, then get me out of here, because I can't do this anymore. Now, that is a sorry way to live. And I'm telling you, you don't have to live that way, and you don't have to die that way based on this book. But it is war, and you can be a prisoner of war, or you can be free. Now, I'm not going to go too far on this, but this whole passage in Ephesians 6 talks about how you prepare for this war and literally this armor. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, put on righteousness, put on the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit," which is this book, the Word of God, "praying always." And the context here is prayer. Now, let me tell you something and keep this picture in your head. I have never seen a prisoner of war in armor. Now, think about it. Prisoners of war don't get dressed for battle. They're locked up. You show me somebody who's dressed for battle, who's got the armor on, and I'll show you somebody who's free. Because you can't be a prisoner of war in armor. You can't do both at the same time. You're either free or you're not. And if you're free, you're in a battle. And if you're in a battle, you know you are, and you got to pray. And to pray, which is the context here, you got to have this armor on. And you got to do it by the book. You say, well, I don't want to do it by the book. Then you just enjoy yourself for a little bit longer. Sooner or later, you're going to get sick of it, and you're going to ask and get out. You can't take it anymore. All right, turn to Luke 4. Jesus in Luke 4 quotes Isaiah 61. Luke chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 14. Jesus has just been tempted in the wilderness, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. And he's just come out of that in verse 14. Let's pick up there. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and that is not there coincidentally. You better not be going anywhere without the power of the Spirit. And let me give you this as just some background so you have a frame of reference. The Bible talks about living in the flesh or living in the Spirit, okay? You either are walking with God and doing it God's way, or you're walking in the flesh and doing it your way. If you're walking in the flesh, you're a POW. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're free. Everybody got that? So if you're walking in this flesh, then what you basically said is, I'm back, where's my cell, I'm going to spend the night here, or the year here, or the decade here. And the second you get out of the flesh and in the Spirit, then they all open the gates and you walk out. And there are people who just go back and forth, in their cell, out of their cell. And they change their mind, you know what, why don't you just get out and stay out? You say, well, that's not possible. Then if it's not possible, why did he say it's possible? He says you can be free, let's get free and stay free. I spent 20-something years of my life in that cell, and when they haul me back in and start offering me their crap, their junk, saying, well, this works, and that works, I say, you know what? You people are crazy. I am not going to live or die here. I'm out of here. And you start remembering. You say, Father, help me remember. How did I get here and how do I get out? And you say, Father, I am wrong. I am sorry. I am wrong. I should not treat my wife this way. My attitude is sorry. I'm sorry. I want out of here. Get me the heck out of here. And you start saying the things and doing the things and thanking God and praising Him that He's forgiven you, that Jesus died for you, that the blood was shed to forgive you, and you head for the gates. Anybody remember, I may be too old, Maxwell Smart? Remember how Maxwell Smart opened? Remember how it started? Dun, 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 the music? What happened? Remember all those doors, those gates? Man, wherever he was going, you couldn't have gotten in there with an atom bomb. But he would walk down that hallway and those gates would open. They'd close behind him. Gates would open, close behind him, and that music play, and he'd go, some of you are like, what is Maxwell Smart? You can rent it at Blockbuster, probably. Anyhow, these gates would open and close, and this impenetrable fortress all of a sudden was a no-brainer. When you have the truth and you speak the truth, guys, you head for the gates, they open. And the enemy cannot stop. He is authorized to open the gate and let you out. Now, if you want to stay there, fine, but I'll tell you what, if you've ever tasted freedom, you're not going to spend much time in jail. Now, my problem is I had spent 20-something years of my life locked up. I didn't know what freedom was, and it's scary stuff. I'll warn you that. If you've never been free, and you talk to people, how many of you, if you've seen Shawshank Redemption, maybe you saw that movie, the guys would be in jail 30, 40 years. You know what happened? They'd get out of jail. One guy got out, and he was so freaked by being free that he hung himself. He couldn't live on the outside. Some people have been locked up spiritually for so long, the rules, the regulations, the cell block, they're in their place doing their thing. They're so geared to do it under the law in the flesh, to use the terms of the Bible, they don't know what to do. And they get out, and basically God says, do whatever you want to do, but obey me, trust me, do whatever you want. He sets you free. Now, guys, the first few days of me being free, I got to be honest with you. It's like Claude would come see me, and we'd sit in the cell, and he'd say, okay, let's go. And I'd walk out through the first gate, and I'd go, man, I can't do this. And I'd go back in my cell. I was safe in my cell. And he'd come back, and we'd talk some more, and I'd make it to the front gate. Finally, I made it to the front gate. And man, I looked behind me and looked in front of me and realized a few more steps, and I was out of there, and it scared me to death. Because I didn't have anybody telling me what to do and how to live. I was going to be free and had to make decisions on my own and be responsible for my own life. Religion programs you and tells you everything to do, when you want to do it, and you're not going to be free, but you're going to have it all worked out, choreographed for you, and you just live on autopilot. But you get free, you got to listen to God. You can't just say, what does the rule book say on line 4? Say, God, how does this apply to my life on Tuesday at work or on Friday night when I'm climbing in my bed and trying to figure out a way not to touch my wife because I'm so selfish and upset? I don't want to bump her in the night. Now, guys, that's evil stuff. That's not God. And I ain't the only one in the house that's been through that. So you're compounding problem after problem. You say, well, but I'm free. No, you're not. You're locked up. You're doing whatever you want to do. But if it's so great, why are you so miserable? All right, Luke 4, 14. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he grew up, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, what he did when he went into a town, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He went in the synagogue, he stood up, they read the scripture standing, whoever read it, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. It wasn't a Bible that had scrolls, they handed him Isaiah. So Jesus knew the book. He opened the scroll, Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, Isaiah 61. This is where he starts to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, guys, that's what you need right there. I need a Jesus. I need a God who will come along and preach this, the gospel to the poor. Not just physically poor, but spiritually poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Anybody brokenhearted? Had about enough of getting your heart broken? He came to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Some of you, everybody is bound to have seen this. When Germany was delivered, do you remember the scenes of the POWs and the American troops coming into these camps? You know what? When somebody more powerful shows up in a camp and start setting people free, they can't stop them. And the tanks would roll in, the American soldiers would get out, and the war was over. I'm going to tell you something. You got somebody who can march in your prison, whatever it is, and into your cell, wherever it is, and all the guards got to step back. The God of the universe marches in your cell and says, look, I don't know who you people are, what you think you're doing, but this one's mine, and he is out of here. And the truth is, I died for him. I shed my blood to get him free from this stuff, and I don't know who put him in here. Maybe he put him in here, but we're out of here, and he's going with me, and nobody can stop us. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. They can't touch you. Now, guys, it takes a lot of faith, but what you got to do is say, you know what, Jesus, you want me out of here? Then I'm going to stand up and follow you right out of here. I promise you, there's not a demon in heaven or hell who, when they see Jesus, is going to get anywhere near him. They are scared to death of him. So you get up, take him by the hand, get behind him as close as you can, and say, let's get out of here. I'm embarrassed to be here, but I know how I got here, and I'm out of here. Now, guys, before we leave today, I want you to know that if you're locked up, it's your own fault. And if you want to live there, that's your business. You want to die there, that's your business. But the book says you can be free. You can walk out today. And I'm not saying you'll never land in the cell, and it's not pretty. But the worse it is when I'm in there, the more I want out. Because see, I've tasted freedom. And if you ever taste freedom, the problem is so many people have been in so long, they don't even know what it's like to be free. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said. He sent me to anoint, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. Some of you can't even see anymore what's going on in your life. He's just blinded you. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that's a reference to the year of Jubilee when all of the debts were wiped out. Anybody who owed anybody anything, it was all wiped out. And he said, I'm here to wipe it all out, to forgive you, to fix whatever's broken, to set you free, to make it right. Now, he can do it, guys. And then in verse 21, he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He says, I am the one. Isaiah spoke it in Isaiah 61, but I am the one who can do it. The things that were written in Isaiah 61, and he just read, said, I'm the person that can do that. Let me read you something out of John 8. If you want to look at it, John 8, 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, now listen to this, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You are my followers. And here's what will happen. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, guys, if you want to be free, you're going to have to do it his way. If you abide in my word, in other words, you find out what God says, and you stick with it, and you apply it, and you do it to your life, then he says, if you abide in my word, then you're really my followers, and that's when you're going to know the truth, and the truth is what's going to set you free. You can almost spot a POW. Did you know that? Just look in their eyes. I can tell you somebody's free just like that. POWs are all bottled up, angry, in a hurry to go somewhere and do nothing. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Look down at verse 34. Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Verse 36, therefore if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Are you a slave to sin? Are you a prisoner to sin? You say, well, I just can't stop doing this. You're a prisoner. I know somebody can help you stop. You say, but Richard, I'm only human. You know, if you're not a Christian, that may be true. But if you're a Christian, that's a lie. That's part of your problem. You're not applying the truth. People say, oh, well, I'm only human. I'm not only human. I got the God of the universe living in me. I got some humanity left, but I got God in me. And if greater is he who is in me than he who's in the world, that means I got power and authority to not be a slave to sin if I choose not to be and say, God, do your thing. Now, sooner or later, guys, you're going to get sick of your sin. And when you do, I'm telling you, there's a prison ministry just for you, where Jesus himself will come in and say, look, why don't we take a walk? Why don't we leave this place? Let's get free. Let's get out here. You're going to have to be responsible for your life. You're going to have to make decisions with me and my way, but let's get out of here. Let's live. Let's really live. There's another verse at the end of Romans chapter 8, if you're writing this stuff down. Romans chapter 8, verse 2 talks about this. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The Bible describes sin as a law and life as a law. Did you know, and man, I've gone over this before, I think, but you know that you cannot stop sinning? If you guys have been frustrated because you just can't stop sinning, you know why? It's a law. See, the law of sin and death always happens. You'll never stop sinning unless a higher power intervenes and stops it. Now look at it again, verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You say, I can't stop sinning. You're right, you can't stop without him. But if you say, I've had enough of this, I want a higher law to intervene here and give me the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Does that not sound better even on the surface? Life in Christ Jesus or the law of sin and death? Which one you want? Life, sin, and death. You know, pick a plan here, guys. It's a no-brainer. Look down at the bottom of this passage, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, POWs, those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How many people do I talk to? They're just looking for life, peace, answers, fulfillment, purpose. You're not going to find it anywhere else but through Jesus Christ and walking according to the Spirit, not the flesh. Outside a jail, not inside. On the battlefield in your armor, not a POW in a cell. You've got to pick a plan. And God has already picked it for you. You just got to agree with Him and get busy. You don't have to live and die this way. Now, some people say to me, well, I don't want to give up all this stuff. Guys, what are you giving up? Sin and death? You say, but it's working. I'm having a good time. No, you're having a good time about that long every once in a while, and then you bottom out. People have sexual struggles, drug struggles, eating disorder struggles, whatever your deal is, you get a high, temporary high. I'm talking about a high that lasts forever. You say, well, that's not possible. Prove me wrong. Try it. I'm not telling you I'm never going to have another problem with my wife. I'm not telling you I don't ever struggle with anything again, guys, but I know how to do it, and I want you to know how to do it. So at least when you get in that situation, you pick a lane and do one or the other and not go, well, what do I do? It's better. Life and peace is better than what you're doing. He said, but I've never experienced it. Then give it a try.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Stand up in your cell and say enough's enough, and if you don't think you can get out by yourself, get somebody to come in and talk to you and walk out with you. In my case, that's what had to happen. I didn't know how to get out by myself. Claude come visit me in my cell, and I'd stand up, and finally he walked me out the front gate, and now I spend more time on the outside than I do on the inside. Now, every once in a while, I get arrested and locked up, and then somebody reminds me, or I remember, I got pardon papers, and somebody signed my pardon in his own blood, and I can leave anytime I want. Now, see, I think it's great you're in church, but I'd rather you be free as the church, not a POW in a church. You see, when you get free, then you got a prison ministry. And that's what this whole thing's about. See, I had buddies in jail with me. And anybody who's been in jail, when they get out, they don't forget their buddies. And they write them and they care about them. And when I got out, I said, Claude, there's more. We got to go back in. Now you find yourself in battle armor attacking the prison and saying, we're going to get you out. I'm coming back after you. And you go in and visit, and you go in and visit, and then somebody else gets out. And you know what? Now there's two of you going back in. And the goal is to get everybody out, everybody free. Dying and going to heaven is a great thing, guys. but he never intended for you to live as a prisoner of war. You can be free.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.